accidentally go forward instead of backward and hit the door. The hinges creak, the door creeps open another inch, and I rear back. Oh no. I scurry back, away from the door, and whirl around, ready to bolt. But before I can escape, the door opens, light spills across the dark hardwood floors, and a tall shadow looms over me. I clench my thighs, the silvery ache burning like I'm about to pee my pants. Slowly, I turn my head and see Mr. Torrance standing there in a dark suit. The scowl on his face softens, and he lets out a sigh.
"Hi," he says.
His lips curl in a slight smile as he gazes down at me. On instinct, I retreat a step. I got lost, I swallow, looking up at his dark eyes. Do you know where my mom is? I can't find her. But just then, the room's other occupant swings the door open even more, letting the knob hit the wall, and charges around his father and out of the room. Black hair hanging in his eyes, head down, and necktie draped untied around his neck, he pushes past me without a look and barrels down the stairs. His footsteps disappear, and I turn back to Mr. Torrance. He smiles, coming down and squatting at my level. I rear back a little.
"You're Margot's daughter," he says. "Winter, right?"
I nod, putting a foot behind me and ready to take another step back. But he reaches over and places a hand under my chin.
"You have your mother's eyes."
"I don't. No one ever says that." I raise my chin, so it isn't touching his hand.
"How old are you?" he asks.
He takes my chin again, tilting my head left and right, as his eyes appraise me. Then they fall away from my face and down my white leotard and tutu, past my tights and down to my feet. They float back up, meeting my eyes, but now the smile is gone. Something different plays behind his gaze as he stares at me, and I don't know if it's his silence, his sighs, or how I can't hear the party anymore. But I finish my step and pull away a few more inches. "I'm 8, I mumble, dropping my eyes. I don't need his help finding my mom. I just want to leave, now. He was so mean to his son. My parents aren't perfect, but I've never been screamed at like that."
"You're going to be very beautiful someday," he adds in almost a whisper. "Like your mother."
I try for a few seconds, finally able to swallow the lump in my throat.
"The first time I saw my wife," he goes on, "she was in a costume very much like yours."
I don't have to imagine what Madame looks like in costumes. There are pictures and paintings of her all over the house and the studio. Mr. Torrance stays there for a moment, his height and eyes hovering over me and making me uncomfortable. Finally, he drops his hand and inhales a breath as if snapping out of something.
"Run along and play,"
he tells me. I spin around, darting back the way I came, but I have to glance over my shoulder one more time to make sure he's far away and not following me. But as I look, I see him continue down the hallway, open the door straight ahead, and pause for a moment as if seeing someone. I almost turn back around to keep going, but he moves out of the doorway, swinging around to close the door. And I see her. My mom. I narrow my eyes, blinking to make sure it's her. White afternoon dress, long hair the same color as mine, playful smile on her lips. The door closes, cutting off the image of her heading toward him, and I stand in the black hallway, the sound of a lock clicking echoing around me. I should go. I don't know what's going on, but I don't think I should bother her. Twisting around, I run back down the stairs, through the foyer again, and toward the back of the house and the party. The back door opens, a waiter coming through with a tray, and I slip out, flitting across the stone patio and through a sea of adults. Chatter surrounds me. People laugh, drink, and eat, while a flute player in a light blue gown shares a corner with a string quartet far off to my right. They fill the terrace with Vivaldi's Four Seasons, a track I know really well from dancing. The waitstaff clears silverware while glasses clink, and I glance up at the darkening sky, seeing the clouds cover the sun and cast a shadow over the party. Perfect for the candlelight. Spotting a group of white, I see my friends, all similarly dressed, since we'd just performed in our recital earlier today, run behind some hedges. They're huddled together, giggling, and my sister, 3 years older than me, is in the middle of them. I only hesitate a moment before I take a step, following them. Running around the hedge and onto the grass, I suddenly stop and inhale the rush of wind that hits me as it blows through the trees. Chills spread up my arms, and I glance back at the house and the windows on the second floor where I'd been. My mom might come looking for me.